Up for the band leading us in worship. Let's give it up for Commitment Sunday. It's going to be a great Sunday at Genesis Metro Church. Gosh, I was talking to the lady that does my hair yesterday, and when I walked in, she said, hey, there's a guy in your church named Aaron, and I'd seen him in there before. Aaron Hood lives in my neighborhood, and he does the same hair. And she's like, he was telling me about some of the things in your church. And he's talking about, you have a men's event every year where like the guys go out there and do some crazy stuff. And I was like, so whenever someone says that, I'm always like, is this like a selling point or something I have to overcome? And so I was like, yeah, we do some fun stuff out there. You know, it's a little crazy, but it's all good. Everybody has a great time. Most importantly, people experience life-changing moments out there with God. And she said, yeah. And he said, like, there's actually a women's event coming up really soon. And I was like, you are right. And she's like, well, he said that they do some stuff too. I was like, yeah. And I said, you ought to think about coming. And she goes, I actually was thinking about going to that. And I was like, you totally should. And then she was talking about, you know what, I got to be honest. She said, I looked up your church and you know, I'm thinking about coming to visit. And I was like, that sounds great. And in my mind, I was kind of thinking also that Aaron was kind of showing me up as the pastor because I hadn't shared any of these things yet. Let's give it up for Aaron showing up, Pastor Tim. Inviting the 107, that's what it's all about, I'm telling you. And so I told her, I said, you know what? Today is actually, it was yesterday, I said, tomorrow is actually going to be the most important service in our church's history. And she's like, why is it going to be important? And I was like, well, it's hard to summarize, but the 17 years that we've been doing what we've been doing here is going to culminate in a big step for our church to take the next step forward in building a story of reaching more lives. And so that's all going down tomorrow. It's going to be super cool. You ought to come. And so I thought, you know what? Whenever we think about our church and what it's all about, and we've been talking about, for all the guests that are here today, you might see these rocks that are up here and you're like, what is going on with these rocks? I'm going to explain it all in just a moment. If you didn't bring a rock today, it is okay. I can tell you where to get one. And so we're doing a commitment service of these rocks representing, every stone represents a story is the easiest way to describe this. And it's every family's commitment. And we ask everyone to go out to our property that we're going to build on and bring a rock today and commit this building and these stories and these stones to the Lord. And we're going to do that at the end of the service. And so for the last 6 weeks, we've been going through Joshua, and today's the last sermon in this particular series. And it's a really interesting story because in Joshua chapter 4, they've come to the edge of the river, and Joshua has instructed the priests to go out. And we'll pick up our text, and I'm going to do this a little different in the second service than I did in the first service, so you guys are getting a brand new version of this. And so it says that Joshua commanded 12 men, okay? In the Old Testament, 12 tribes, 12 men, one man from every tribe. He said, I want you to go out there, and I want you to pick up one stone for your tribe. And I was like, oh gosh, it's so good, right? It's so good. This week, all the family photos that were out there, everybody was looking for the one for their tribe, right? And like, you got some concentric circles of tribes. You got the family unit tribe. You got the individuals in the family. You got the bigger tribe, the church. You got the bigger, big S tribe, the kingdom of God. And all of these stones, the Bible says, are like living stones. They build up and they make, you know, the house of God. And so here we are out there seeing these families gather these stones. And it's just like what happened with Joshua. He said, I want you to go out there, one man from each tribe, a representative, pick up a stone, and we're going to stack them up on the other side. And he says, so that when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? And I thought we would kind of camp out right there for just a little bit. They're going to stack these stones up on the other side where everyone can see at the first place they come to camp. And then he said, whenever people walk by for the next generation, however long these stones are stacked, he says, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? He says, you need to tell them this. This is the day that the Lord cut off the waters, that he divided the waters, and that we were able to walk across on dry ground. And I wanted to kind of get us to start thinking along these lines. What do these stones mean to you? How cool is it that one day these stones are going to make up a part of that building, and your kids are going to walk in to a building that has a rock that you dedicated to the Lord? As a matter of fact, to illustrate this point, on Friday night, my family went out and got individual family rocks. And as we were walking through, it was kind of an interesting event that occurred. When we were walking through, we could tell that there were some bigger rocks below the surface, and people had started digging and picking around and then realized that this was way too much. Like, this is a gigantor boulder, and they're like, okay, kids, let's go find another one, all right? And so as Carrie and myself and our three children were walking through, we could see these different ones that had been started but had not been completed. And I was like, all right, this sounds fun. So in our little lab that we create all of these things for your enjoyment of things that people at Genesis Metro won't do, we try to come up with these ideas, like what is something, if we put it on that list for going to Uprising, that they won't do? And then we're pleasantly fascinated that we've yet to come up with something that they won't do. I love our church. We're 100%ers, right? And so I put this post out on social media, and I said, you know, I'll buy dinner, a night out for your family, main event, whatever. And I put the GPS coordinates. I said, if anybody can get this rock out of the ground, and I took a picture of it. And I thought, you know what, maybe someone go out there half-heartedly and like get there and like, no, nope. And lo and behold, like within 30 minutes, I had four on this thread. They were like, I'm in, I'm going. And then the next thing, this couple's like, we're getting this other couple that started coming to church with us. And from Sanger, folks, most of y'all don't even know where Sanger is, okay? I'm gonna say it right now. Sanger and Salina, on a Friday night, mom said she was already in the shower, already putting the kids down, and they were like, we're in, load them up. And they met up, drove 45 minutes out to this property, and I love it, I love it. Like, only at Genesis Metro, they got the headlights out there, and they're digging, and the women are, and the men, everybody's digging up in this thing. And in my mind, at my house, when I saw that they were coming, I'm interacting with them, and I'm like, you know, I'll give it an hour, and I'll take some Gatorades out there, because it's right by my house, and it's gonna be a while. And the next thing you know, I get a post I'm tagged in, and it's like, done, mission accomplished. And so they're pulling this thing out, and it turns out it's not even a rock. It's a piece of a foundation with rebar in it on a piece of property that nothing's ever been built on, okay? So kind of a little bit crazy here, so we don't know the mystery of it. Here's the whole team, and then the last one. This is what broke my heart a little bit. If I had emotions, I would cry. But I was like, man, like, do I even need to preach this? Like, why? Why do we do it? These two families were in here the first service and so excited. Two newborns. Two infants sitting there between that rock. And I think, like, why do we do it? For the 107? Those are one little 107 sitting there. Going to be walking around in the presence of God in a building that their parents helped build. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I thought, why do we do this? The 107. I realized last week that every now and then I have to redefine terms because people are coming in that are brand new to our church. And when I say 107, they have no idea what the 107 is. The 107, to make it simple, is the next person that walks through that door that needs to have a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. That's what the 107 is. And that's why we do everything that we do. And I'm just guessing by the fact that you're sitting here today, if you go here on a regular basis, that you've had a 107 life-changing moment at this church. Can we give God some applause for what he has done? Man, gosh, I was sitting there and I was like, and I can't even preach a sermon thinking about all the kids that are going to grow up and have an incredible experience. I think about every story, and I think about those guys that were out there, and it says that they waited out there and they carried those stones over to the other side. And I think about the leader Joshua. And I think, you know, if you don't know his story about how he got there, I think we romanticize sometimes the stories as if they're straight lines. And I think that everyone that's lived a little bit in here knows that life does not happen in straight lines. Can I get an amen if anybody's ever experienced an unexpected curve in the road? Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? There is struggle, I believe, in every great story. As a matter of fact, there's a map I found in, if you ever go to the back of your Bible, anybody ever been back to the maps? Has anybody ever taken a look at those? Yeah, okay. So here's one of the Israelites' journey. So the day that this is happening, you have to get the backstory of how they got there. Joshua had came out of Egypt, and then he's wandered through this wilderness for 40 years. 40 years, folks. Do you think there was some struggle in that story? Do you think, if you know the story, they had a shot to go in, and Joshua was like thumbs up, Caleb was thumbs up, and then 10 other guys were like thumbs down? You know why you don't know those 10 other guys' names? Because they're not Joshua and Caleb. Anyway, and so anyway, they had a negative report, and then not because of Joshua's fault, not because of Moses' fault, not because of Caleb's fault, they had to like take this route. Y'all see this route? Okay, let me explain something to you. That top part up there, that nice little line right below the blue part, the sea, that's the established road at that time. That's where everybody like traveled. You want to go from there to there, you take that road. And then in the middle, there's like a little dotted line. That's the caravan route. So that's where like if you're pack muling it across there, okay? This is the route that God took Israel. Does everybody see this? There's not a road name on here. We're going to call that Route 107. Everybody okay? Everybody cool with that? And so they went all the way down here. And then I really like this part up here. Did you see they start going in circles? Anybody notice that up there? I was really intrigued by that because I feel like a lot of times on this journey, it feels like that's represented my life. And can anybody in here testify if it ever feels like you're going in circles? I want to help someone here today that circles are a part of the process, okay? Let me help you and say that. There's a way that you want your story to go, and then there's the way that God wants your story to go. And sometimes the way that you want your story to go isn't the way that God wants your story to go. And there's a reason why it needs to go this way, and it's called Route 107. It says that they went out there and they grabbed some stones, a stone for each tribe, and they stacked it on the other side. As I was thinking about our story and what led up to this moment, and the stone that we have talked about for years, for the last 11 years, I guess, was a stone that my family picked up. And there's a picture in 2008 that we filmed a video where we were raising money to do this building. And this is El Dorado. This is where Newman Village is now, okay? Y'all see old Frisco? Okay, nothing here. When we moved here in whatever it was, 17 years ago, nothing that you walk outside here and see with your eyeballs was built, okay? So God didn't move us here when it was like an incredible exploding city. He moved us here, and people always ask, why Frisco? And I would say, if God tells you why he told me to go to Frisco, you let me know, because all he told me was, go to Frisco. And so we came here with nothing. Y'all have heard that whole story. If you don't want to go back and hear all the details, remember. But this rock, and I went into the Captain Morgan pose. Let's talk about this for just a moment, okay? Like, this is back when video was relatively, like, being new in church. And, like, you know, there's actually footage of this that is really embarrassing. And so let's talk about the graphic T-shirt back in the day. Anybody, like, Yeah, is a handsome dude right there, and fashion faux pas all over the place. And so let's get that off the screen. So anyway, I picked up that rock that day, and I felt like it was a promise of a prophecy that had been spoken that Genesis Metro was going to locate on that piece of property. And this lady had called me and told me that, and now I'm on this property, even though it's not for sale, it's not been committed to us, and I pick up this rock, and then this rock has an 11-year journey where at year 8, it goes into Mexico, where it has been for the last 8 years. That brings us to current day rock commitment service. When I found out we were doing this service, I was like, I gotta go get the rock. Y'all watched the video last week. We were going into Mexico. We pre-shot the video. We knew going in, we had 90 seconds, a minute to 90 seconds to fill up with rock footage. And we got to the airport, and God decided to send a hurricane last week to Florida. And if anybody traveled last week, it messed you up. Can I get an amen? Like anybody, like we got down there and like a storm blew into Texas and our flight got delayed that we were supposed to be on first. And then that was gonna make us miss our flight to Mexico. So we had to rebook another flight. And then as we were trying to load that flight sold out. So then we were on the third flight and American Airlines app crashed repeatedly, okay? I'm down on American Airlines right now. I'm sorry. Air conditioning doesn't ever work on that plane. I got on Aeromexico on Friday. It was cold as ice, okay? I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there, American, if you're watching. And so we get to the airport, and we're at the third flight at 6 o'clock. We're supposed to get on this flight. It begins getting delayed all the way till midnight. It was delayed, delayed, delayed. Moved the gate 4 times. I'm like, is someone lost out there? Is there a pilot wandering around out here? And so at midnight, they're like, we regret to inform you that the flight is now canceled. I'm like, canceled? Like, I got to go to Mexico and get a rock. And so we, like, start looking for the next day. We find a flight, but it's going to Morelia, which is in Michoacán, which, if you don't know your Mexican geography, it's in the middle of Mexico, which is closer to where we needed to go, but our bags are on a flight that is going to Mexico City. So the drone and everything that we're taking with us, it's going to Mexico City. So let's just say that this turns into a whirlwind 12-hour day that we have to go to Hidalgo, we have to go to the place, we have to go get the rock, and then we have to return to Morelia to a hotel that we had on the square, which apparently there was a parade happening that night, and we spent an hour and a half circling the hotel, trying to get in the hotel. Anyway, and then we had to get on Mexican Wi-Fi to try to put this video up into the glorious Wi-Fi internet cloud to bring it to you last Sunday. So it was a crazy, crazy trip, and I kind of felt like at times the world was against me. Has anybody ever felt like this? Like I felt like the airlines was against me. I felt like some technology was against me. I felt like at times, I mean, Mexico was against me, and we forgot a wire, so then I felt like some of my team was against me. I had all these thoughts of paranoia, all right? And I drove across Mexico by myself, which I had never done before, and I almost hit like 5 chickens, a goat, a sheep, and 10 people. And so it was a scene is all I'm trying to say. And we got the rock, we got back to Morelia, we shot the video, we threw it up, we went to the airport the next day to eventually return back to here. That's a more story. We go through customs, we check our bags, we have the rock in the backpack because we thought, you know what would be fun? We'll go Stanley Cup. If you don't know Stanley Cup, they carry the trophy around, all the experiences. Like, we're gonna buckle this rock in the airplane seat. We're gonna give him a little drink, put a little hat on him, and we're just gonna take him around and we'll personify him and he'll be like having the experience. It'll be great. So he's in T-Sal's backpack and we go through the last little security check and the lady stops us, and she opens the little backpack, and she's like, what is this? I'm like, oh, it's a rock. And I've learned, like, you just try to act like this is normal, okay? I promise you in life, lesson to the children, if you just act like it's supposed to be, a lot of people just let it go. And so I tried to pull, like, American Jedi move, and I was like, oh, yeah, we brought it. And now we're just taking it back. It's fine. And I tried to go, anybody ever try to pull it? I was like, it's fine. And she was like, she kind of had this look. She's like, I need to talk to my supervisor. She goes, and I knew we were in trouble. She comes back. And she's like, you guys can't get on the flight with this rock. And I'm like, well, you obviously don't understand the story that we brought it here, and there's God and the whole thing. And she was like, no. And she's like, you should have put it on your suitcases. And Carlos was like, okay, Pastor Carlos, he's from there, and he's like, I'll try to go get it on the suitcases. And he goes and disappears for a little while, like 15, 20 minutes, and he comes back, and he's like, my friend. Somebody, Carlos, my friend. It's like, the rock is gone. I'm like, what do you mean, gone? He's like, yeah, it's gone. They took it. Like, you saying the rock that we've been waiting 7 years to bring back is not going back with us? And he was like, yep. And I got to tell you, I knew how I wanted the story to end. But I knew how that story wasn't ending that day. And I struggled from Monday until Friday. Carrie and I got back. We took a little trip, Cancun on the side. And I was working on a sermon Thursday all the way back. And before my eyes opened on Friday, I woke up. But you know, like if you're like a hard to wake up person, like your eyes don't open, although your brain is alive. And so I was sitting there and my eyes were closed, and God, like, he said it like that. He said, Tim, he said, that rock was the first 17 years with the people that wrote those stories then. He said, but you, just like all the rest of these people, you're going to go out there with your family this week, and you're going to get a rock, which is this rock. And he said, and this rock represents the stories that you're going to write with the people that are here now. This rock is the next 17 years rock. And I was like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. It's not as romantic as I wanted it to be. And I was thinking about Joshua when he got up to that first set of promised land opportunities, and then he walked around for that 40 years. I'm guessing that Joshua and his wife talked quite a bit about, like, you know, if these people wouldn't have done all this, like, why would we have to do, why did this have, like, God, like, why do we have to go, like, would you bring the Bible route back up? Why do we have to go, like, 700 times further around this circle? When we got on that flight, the fourth flight on Saturday morning that we were supposed to get on Friday night, the fourth flight, okay? As we were boarding the plane with high hopes, I saw the first stewardess and I said, hey, if you need anybody to sit up here in first class, just let me know and we'll take those seats just if you need it to be covered. And she kind of like, ha, ha, ha. And so we got back to our seats like 15 rows back and the other stewardess came through. And I said, hey, just letting you know, I talked to her, and I think that she's going to let us sit in first class. And she said, did she say that? And I was like, well, I asked her, and she smiled. I took that as a yes. And so she looks down the aisle, and the lady, like, gives her the, like, and she's like, all right, go on. And I'm like, look, I told my team, it was T-Sal, Josh, and Pastor Carlos, I was like, you have not because you ask not. So we walk up to first class and she sees us. We're editing furiously. We never stopped editing from Thursday when we shot the part that you saw, the first half to the second half, all the way through driving through Mexico. Josh is whittling away the video. And she's like, what are you guys working on? And I was like, oh, we're from church. I'm Frisco. She's like, really? I live up in Prosper with my son and his family. They're looking for a church. Tell me about what's going on here. We tell her about it. She's like, I'll be at your church next Sunday. My family needs to be at your church. So wait, so four flights, all the hassle, all the struggle. I was angry and frustrated. But then for a 107, why are you taking the route that you're on? Why are you going in circles sometimes? If you're following after God, I'm telling you, there's a 107 waiting on the other end of that story. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying today? It's waiting. It's waiting. When we got back to Morelia, before we took off to come back here, it was 3:00 in the morning, and there was a night manager at this hotel, about a 24-year-old kid. And he's got like the pull it back and like put it in the ponytail in a little suit, you know? And He saw us working in the lobby at the video till 3 o'clock in the morning. I struck up a conversation because Josh is over there editing. So I'm just wandering around waiting on T-Sal and Carlos to get back from Mexico City, which they drove 12 hours round trip all in one day so that we could get our bags and not use the footage because it was sundown. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So he's like, what are you guys here for? I tell him the story, the whole story. Okay, which at that time I thought The Rock was coming back, so it was an even better story. And so he could speak enough English, so I could speak enough Spanish. We got along great. And he's like, at the end, he's like sitting there, he had tears in his eyes. And he said, I never expected to meet anyone like you guys sitting here at this desk every night. He said, to hear your dreams. He said, I want you to know I have dreams too. And he told us he wants to have a family and where he wants to move and all these things. And he said, I'm going to remember this night for the rest of my life. That's him right there. See, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's Route 107, folks. You could be tempted to say, like, if you're a skeptic, you could go, so you did all that, and then you didn't even bring it back? Was it all for nothing then? No. For every 107, everywhere in the world, whether they cut our hair or they work in the cubicle next to us, or they're sitting at a desk in Morelia, Mexico, waiting on someone to walk through those doors. Do you know how important it is for you to take the route that God wants you on versus the way that you would like to write the story? I hope that you've given him editing rights to your story. They stacked those stones on the other side, and they said, every time your children ask you what these rocks mean to you, you tell them it's the day the water stopped and we walked across on dry ground. God stopped something that day so that he could start something that day. And I guarantee you in our lives, if we will be sensitive to his plan, there's a lot of times he's going to stop some things in your life. And you're going to be throwing a fit. You're going to be asking him why. You're going to be questioning why. And I promise you, if he's stopping something, it's because he's getting ready to start something. And the church said, amen. Yes, yes. Stacking stones, one for each tribe. I hope you have a stone for your tribe here today. If not, you can go get one this week, bring it back tomorrow. They're going to be up here, in my mind, until we break ground. And so that brings us to the end. Stacking stones. It says after they crossed to the other side and the guys had them on their arms and they dropped them off, that there was one part of the story, and most people actually don't know this part of the story. So some Bible trivia for those knowledge gatherers in the crowd. Put up verse 9. It says that after everyone had crossed, that Joshua, I call him Josh, we're friends. And so Joshua walked back out there, and it says that he gathered 12 stones on his own, and he began stacking them right where the priests were that were holding the ark. And it's such a crazy moment. And I've learned that leadership is more art than science. Would you guys agree with me? If you lead people, let me tell you, the manual that they use for you to lead those people is never going to be sufficient for leading people. And the church said, amen. It's art. And the art of leadership is knowing when. When to push, when to pull back. When to hold on, and when to let go. I guarantee you, sometimes you held on too long, didn't you? Sometimes you might have let go too soon. Here is Joshua standing on the other side, and seemingly the moment is over, right? We crossed, we did it. And Joshua goes back out there. We don't have any instructions of why he did it. It's almost like he improvised in the moment. God, improvisation in the moment. And he stacks these stones up, and it says that they walked out, and they called the priest out, and when the priest's feet touched the other side, he said the waters went back just like they were. So there was one stack of stones above the surface, and then there was another stack of stones below the surface. The stack of stones above the surface was the witness to all the people of what God had done. But that stack of stones below the surface, that was for the Lord. That was the day that Joshua said, right here is where he did it. And I started thinking, it's a pretty good metaphor that there needs to be a stack of stones above the surface for people to see God moving in amongst us and what he has done. But there needs to be a stack of stones for all of us below the surface. One is a witness. The one below the surface is our worship. And I promise, if you don't have the stack of stones below the surface right, that one above the surface isn't going to mean anything to the people that you come in contact with. But if you get that stack below the surface right, I promise you, no matter where your feet go and no matter how many circles you go in, he will draw people to you, to your story, and they will experience a life change that they never dreamed possible. As a matter of fact, as I read that story, I was reminded of something that I had actually forgotten about. 8 years ago when we built this stage, we put a stone below the surface. I asked Ben to cut this out for me this week so we could get this out. And this is the Bible that we put in here 8 years ago. I want you to know something. Every week you see the stack of stones above the surface. But what we've built everything on at this church is the stone that's been below the surface every Sunday. As we're worshiping, as we're preaching, Jesus said, if you build your house on the rock when the storms come and the floodwaters rise, your house will stand. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, when we build the new church, guess what's going to be right in the middle underneath that stage? The same book that we built this building on is going to be the same book we build the next building on. And we want to build it one stone at a time, one story at a time. And we want you to experience the same life change that Jesus offered 2,000 years ago is the same life change we offer you today. And I'm telling you, what worked 2,000 years ago and what worked when they crossed the river, it'll work for you too. Man, I hope today that you would think it's two stacks of stones, one on the outside, one on the inside. And if you need to adjust some things on the inside this morning, I promise you, your life would be so much better if you lived your life for worship, worship of the God who's able to change our lives. Let's pray today. We're going to invite you guys up in just a moment to bring your stones. And if you don't have a stone and you want to come, just pray over these, pray over the building, pray over the process, pray over the 107s that have yet to come. We want to invite you to have that moment. We want to share that moment with you. Would you guys bow your heads? You know what? I'm going to do something before we get started. Bow your heads, close your eyes. I just want to take a moment. And like, if this was your Sunday and you needed today's message and you want me to pray specifically for you, that you could get those things below the surface ironed out, worked out, fixed, in alignment with God, would you just quickly just raise up your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, that was for me today. That one was for me. Would you raise your hands? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's pray then. God, for the 107s in the room right now, for the life change that needs to happen right now, God, for why we do all that we do, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would wrap your arms around every hurting person in here. God, I pray for the person who has wondered why all these things have happened in my life. And they say to themselves, was it all for nothing? Oh my gosh. Can I help you today? It wasn't for nothing. Even the mistakes that you've made, even the sin that you have done. What if I told you today that if you shifted from yourself to Jesus Christ and you built your house on that rock, that one day, the things the enemy has tried to use against you, you will share with others and say, that's my story of how he got me across to the other side. And you'll wear it as a trophy, what Satan tries to use against you as trash. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You are not worthless. Your story is not over. There is not a dead end for you. There is life and hope, and it starts with the stack that's below the surface. Are you ready, church? Would you guys stand with us? And if you want to come bring your rocks down here and pray, please do so.